Next up, it's my pleasure to introduce Andy Lee. Andy Lee is Director of Business Operations for BASF U.S. Crop Protection, based in Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. And for those who attended our event last year and have heard Andy speak before, you know he's a passionate speaker about the industry. And that's why he's often so often asked to speak before groups ranging from growers to retailers to industry on a regular basis. And he's earned a strong reputation as an advocate for the industry here in the U.S. I'll turn it over to Andy now to provide a business perspective on the U.S. crop market, the rising demand and growing need for the technologies that you're going to learn more about today. Andy?
Thank you, Ray. Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. If, like me, you've been enjoying the pleasures of air travel in the Midwest in January and February, you'll know what a relief it is to be tucked in this little bubble here. They've even got the humidity right, haven't they? It's incredible. But, you know, I've been at the MABA. I've been at some of the short course meetings. And there's one thing in common. I think you've probably seen the same thing as you go around the industry meetings this year, is there is a real thirst for information in 2008, way beyond anything I've seen in the 5-10 years that I've been working in this particular industry. There's something different about 2008, and it's not difficult to see why people are so thirsty for information. But all of us in this room have a pretty unique role this year, because suddenly everybody wants to know how to grow the very best acre they possibly can. I mean, it's no surprises when you talk about food demand, biofuel, limited resources. The message now is how to get more yield off every single acre. Cost management has been the story probably from the late 1990s on, but now it's much more about risk management. It's about return on investment rather than just managing the cost. I just want to show you a couple of graphs. The top graph here is farm income. And as you know, it topped out at about $85 billion in 2007. That's very similar to what it was in 2005. So growers have got a lot of resource. In fact, when you look at what USDA is saying at the moment, it's probably going to be around $94 billion total farm income in 2008. And sometime in the next 5 years, it's going to be $100 billion. And that's even with relatively low level of government subsidies added in. So growers have certainly got the resources to invest in yield. But on the flip side is that bottom graph down here, which is the production expenses, just continuing to rise. And there's some bags over in that corner, just behind my fine friend, Mr. Lindholm. And you'll see that it's just a representation of what a bag of seed used to cost a grower. In 2002, it was about $150. Today, you'll see about $250. 2012, I think that's quite conservative, $350, $450. I've heard some speakers say $500 a bag by that time. So how do you protect that sort of investment? It's a very different shift from, hey, maybe I just put more seed, maybe I re-drill, to when you're spending that amount of money up front, how do you protect your investment? And that's clearly the need. I think the smart growers have always done this. There's a gentleman here who says you can't save your way to prosperity. The good growers have realized it's about return on investment and managing their risk over the season. So what does it mean for all of us, and what does it mean for US growers? There is a need for information way beyond what there ever was, both at the retail level, and I don't know if you've been to some of these meetings in the Midwest, you'll see those retailers, that a lot of them are struggling to understand the mind shift because the pressure they're being put under to provide solutions. How do growers get more out of every acre? Land resources fixed. Obviously, science, we believe, is part of the answer for getting more out of every acre. Breeding programs have done fabulous work, but as I'll show you in a minute, there are only certain incremental development you can make in yield year on year. So we've got to manage risk and protect investment. This is corn yield trends since 1977, 30 years. And you'll see breeding has notched away, moving that yield up and up. The average now is 151 bushels an acre. Looks pretty good. Till you start to look at what some individuals are doing. Remember that 150, 250, 254, 320, 2.5 times. Now, if you want to picture that, and there's a few people in this room could picture it, imagine twice the number of wagons coming off every field. That's basically what those growers are doing compared to the average. They're getting that much more yield. Now, these are competition winners. It's not necessarily possible to do it on every field. But there are things that these growers are doing today which are giving them yields which would take us 20 years to achieve by conventional breeding. There are ways they're managing their crop. There are things they are doing with the programs and the planning they're putting in which are giving these sort of yields in corn. And look at soybeans. Bushels per acre on average, 41 bushels per acre. That's the average in the US. Look at the record breakers, 56, 65, and then the world record, of course, 154. You know, more than three times what the average is. And you picture that, three times the number of wagons coming off the field loaded with grain. People are doing that today. The information is there today. The expertise is there today. How do we spread that around? And last year, I had the tremendous privilege of speaking to the National Corn Growers Association and talking to their winners and really understanding that what they're doing now is what everybody else is going to be doing in 5 years and 10 years' time. How do we accelerate that curve? And the answer, ladies and gentlemen, is in this room. It's the information that you can get out to growers and retailers to show them how they can, if not achieve 154, maybe they can get 56 or 65 rather than the average yield. You're going to hear this a few times this afternoon. Part of the difference, and Steve put it very well, is it's now a planned approach. Really, when you go with your business plan as a grower to your bank manager at the beginning of the year, you're having to talk about the total year. You're having to talk about your seed treatment, your herbicide, insecticide, and your fungicide as well. It's not about a month-by-month cost-based decision. It's about putting together a plan. And if you follow that plan, that's the way you start to increase those yields, both in corn and in soybeans as well. It's exactly the same approach, this planned approach from the beginning of the year rather than month by month. So I want to spend a minute or two just talking about one of the big changes in 2007, and that was fungicide use in corn. Typically, less than 1 million acres used to get treated with a fungicide. In 2007, 10.3 million acres got treated with a fungicide based on the Stratus survey results. So 13% of all of the corn acres got a fungicide in 2007. I feel pretty proud about that because 70% market share of that was Headline, which is ours. And we've been banging this drum for a long time. And sure, commodity prices are good and information is good, but everything has to come together. The information has to be there about how to get the yields. So what does that mean? I mean, it's easy to talk about these big numbers. How can we bring it down to something that makes some sort of sense? Basically, the headline that was used in corn and soybeans in 2007 gave growers over $450 million more income. So that's one of the differences that we saw in 2007. An economic boost from using headline corn, headline in corn, and headline in soybeans. Aerial applicators, I know some of you write for the aerial applicator audience, and some of you talk to aerial applicators. They netted over $42 million of new business last year from use of headline in corn and soybeans. And retailers. Retailer sales of over $120 million increased in 2007 from using headline in corn and soybeans. So these are very real financial benefits in one area where we saw science come into play in 2007. 3 million acres of soybeans treated with headline gave us 13.5 million bushels of extra beans. 7 million acres of corn treated with headline gave us 112 million bushels of beans. Hey, huge numbers. What does that actually mean? Let's turn it to something we can all recognize. Basically, what that is about 105,000 semis loaded with grain of new crop, new soybeans, new corn that previously the US market did not produce before. And if you want to turn that into another picture, that's about 45 of those really big boats loaded with grain, loaded with corn and soybeans, which set sail out of the US to meet some of those export markets in 2007, which otherwise they wouldn't have done because of the use of headline. And this is perhaps the most important thing, 105,000 semis more of corn and soybeans, not a single extra acre over and above what was planned. So without bringing more acres in, by using this one example of information and science and using some of, let's call them, the tricks of the trade that the very best guys have been using for a number of years, in other words, using fungicides in soybeans and corn, other growers have been able to benefit and be able to realize some of the benefits of these very, very good top growers by using some of the same scientific approaches to growing crops. Biofuel is a big subject at the moment. Headline last year in corn and soybeans produced 19 million gallons of soy diesel, or it could have done if it had been turned into soy diesel, or just over 250 million gallons of ethanol. And again, that's tough, but that's all the fuel consumed by over 500,000 growers in a year. So these are some of the economic impacts you can have by changing farming practices, and in this case, by using headline. But we're talking about seed treatments. I put all that up really just to show you that that's dealing with one end of the crop. What we need to look at is the other end of the crop and apply some of the knowledge and experience that we've gained in using fungicides at this stage and this stage of the crop to when the seed's going in the ground. And answering a grower's need, and Steve put it very well, it's no longer about protecting the seed, it's about protecting the crop. It's about the protecting the return on investment. And research results show that certainly if you can get these little seedlings, and we'll talk more about those as we go through in Craig's presentation, if you can get those out of the ground strong, that's a benefit you see running right the way through the crop. For BSF, working with seed treatments, we believe that the benefits you get from faster emergence, excellent stand, increased cold tolerance, and that's interesting, benefits would carry right the way through until you put on your fungicide and you optimize your plant health and disease control. Why is seed treatment interesting? And you're going to hear some very interesting facts as we go through the presentation talking about the way that there's a revolution in seed treatment. It really is. It's a revolution. And if you look at what we anticipate happening in the market, it's growing way faster than the overall ag market. It's growing about 5% per annum. And you'll continue to see the big players being corn and soybeans, cotton, cereals. But you know, this is a growing market. It's very exciting. And when you look at the cost of the seed over there and the sort of investment growers are being asked to make, you understand why seed treatment is growing so quickly. So BSF seed treatments. BSF, we tend to do things a little bit differently. We much prefer to build it from the base up and put it together piece by piece. And that's what we've done with seed treatments. It's taken us a little bit longer than some other companies because we've done just that. We've started from the base and we've built this thing piece by piece, but we've built it very strong. We've got 20 products globally. We've got a first-rate seed treatment technology center in Limburgerhof. I think some of you may even have seen it. Verbund is a strange word, but all it means is that BSF plays in lots of different pieces, like polymers. And being able to pull the polymer experience into the seed treatment along with the biology is a very strong way of doing research. As always with everything in BSF, we're going to research it to death before we let anything out of the lab. And science is really at the foundation of everything we do. In the US today, we have 3 products. By 2009, we'll have 11 products. We see this as a very interesting market moving forward, and very much a continuation of putting science into seed treatment and bringing a different approach, some benefits to the US grower.